The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
There's a growing demand for workplaces to offer employee assistance programs. These programs help to tackle issues surrounding mental health and hence improve working environments. But how do companies go about implementing these programs, and how can employees open up about their mental health difficulties? I'm joined now by Peter Cosgrove, Managing Director of FutureWise, but also former chairman of the mental health charity Aware. Good morning and welcome, Peter.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, first of all, mental health and defining what is mental ill health, is it to be observed, I suppose, by someone who simply can't handle their job?
No, I mean, it's a very tricky one. Mental health, severe mental health for organizations like Aware, you know, long-term depression, bipolar, and many other areas. But the word has slightly changed to have a much more broader, where people say, look, I'm having, you know, struggling with my mental health, which is absolutely potentially genuine. But you go all the way along the spectrum to maybe people who are maybe saying it because it's an easy way to get off some hard work. So we've got to be careful about how we use it.
Absolutely. But I mean, when you talk about the serious mental health conditions, which will be hopefully diagnosed by doctors and so on, maybe the other things that we're talking about, high anxiety, might not ever be diagnosed by a doctor.
It may not be, but actually a lot of people would say anxiety is part of mental health because it's one of the signs towards something like depression, but it may not do. But that's the whole point of this. It is very hard to put a label around people on this.
So in the workplace, the kind of programs you talk about, suppose you're a small employer, say, I can't afford to be running my own mental health program or my own wellness program.
Yeah. The first thing I'd say is many companies run these all the time and they spend a lot of money and they're not very effective. So I think
they're not very effective.
Not very effective for two reasons. One, people often don't go to them. But secondly,
you mean they're stigmatizing by even turning up?
There is a little bit of one. Yeah. Yeah. They find that many men won't go to mental health talks compared to women, but both genders, there's a view that if you go, it means there must be something wrong. But secondly, there's been a lot of evidence saying the wellness don't work because it's like we've ticked a box, we've done wellness. But the other thing is the employee assistance programs, which are very good programs, which aren't just about mental health, could be about finance, could be about your marriage. Often companies will say that we have them in place, but even though we talk about them, people just don't pick up the phone and use them.
And why do you think that is?
Honestly, a lot of the times it's no more than the fact that people are too busy. They get offered training, they don't do it. They get offered EAP, they don't do it. So companies feel they have to offer these, but what they should be doing a lot better is ensuring that people understand the benefits of using a service like
this. Now, underperformance, you know, it can be someone who's bad, just a malingerer, couldn't care less, or someone who's sad, someone who genuinely has a depressive condition. Yeah. And hard maybe for the colleagues to suss out which it is.
Yeah, firstly, the behaviours you might have if somebody has depression might be, you know, they might kind of not turn up every day. They might actually be very quiet. They might kind of pull away from the job, but that's not everybody, right? But also some of the traits you might think of as being somebody who might suffer from depression might actually be somebody who's just not very interested in their job. And that's the challenge. And I think the biggest issue with this is a lot of this falls to the managers to try and diagnose one from the other, which is very tricky along with everything else.
Because they're not professionally trained to do that.
Yeah.
So interventions from colleagues, I mean, is it helpful? And we'll talk to Enda Murphy, psychotherapist and author, in a moment about this. Is it helpful to say, you don't seem to be yourself these days?
Yeah, I think what managers need to do is, rather than starting a discussion with an underperforming staff member with, this is what I'm going to do and this, I'm going to solve this problem, the first question is, how are you? Sometimes offering some vulnerability first as a manager, saying, look, I'm having a pretty bad day myself. Where are you on a scale of 1 to 10? I'm at about a 3. So people are more likely to give you where they are on a scale of 1 to 10 than when you ask somebody how they are, the Irish answer is, oh, I'm fine or grand. So you're not going to get much of an answer in that. But the reality is you should be able to understand signs and then put them towards a professional, because it's not really up to the manager to diagnose.
Is there a danger, though, of medicalizing everything? I mean, life is stressful. People have difficulties. They have problems. It doesn't mean that if they're feeling the pressure from those problems that they're mentally in mental ill health, shall we say.
Totally. There is a whole world of resilience at work, and everybody who goes to work understands that there are tough days and good days, and actually that's very good for us, to understand that. So there is hugely a difference between somebody who's just having a tough day or a long day and somebody who's suffering a mental health challenge.
Enda Murphy, a psychotherapist and author, listening to our conversation thus far. Enda, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, you work with people and you actually do a radio insert in the UK with construction workers. And they're probably the last people that you'd expect to be talking about their mental health.
The construction industry is far more advanced in supporting each other in mental health than you would think. And amongst all industries, they are easily the best. And how it always manifests is a radio station in England that specializes in the construction industry, and I do a regular slot on with them. And the way we do the slot is completely rude, completely irreverent. It's completely lighthearted. But what it actually does is that the feedback that actually comes back is usually very, very good. And what normally happens and how I would see people is they'll be on the building site, they will be approached by a colleague who will have noticed something happening, and they won't go in and say, are you okay? They'll say, do you know what? I used to feel exactly the same as you. This was my experience. Is there any chance that you're feeling the same? And the number of people who have actually come to me who said it was a colleague or it was another subbie or another person on the building site who actually mentioned it to them and gave me your number or gave the number of somebody else. And that is fairly unique in the construction industry. I don't see it in other industries happening.
Now, it's very interesting that it should happen and happen so well in this informal, irreverent, unwoke way, perhaps, is the best way to put it. But the dangers also in those places of employment are also really acute. I mean, if you're working in scaffolding, working with machinery and so on and so forth, I mean, there are dangers there if you're not at the top of your game.
Well, the way it is that you can actually be, the difference is we are all mentally unhealthy. All right. And I would argue is that, you know, an expression I sometimes use is we're all mad, but we're just not all mad at the same time. So what happens is that Pat Kenny will drift into mental unhealthiness. And if you use the analogy of physical health, I can be as fit as a fiddle. I can run my marathons, but I can still have a heart attack. Or I can actually have insulin dependent diabetes. I will be physically healthy, but I still have a chronic illness that I need to deal with. So, you know, but those actual things should not affect my performance. Now, if somebody is on a building site and they are very, very preoccupied about something, then yes, you have a duty of care to your colleagues. But my experience is that it's never the actual problem itself that causes the problem for the person. It's the fact that they're saying, I shouldn't be like this, or what is everybody going to think? Do you understand? Like, kind of, it's as if to say that mental health is something that affects everybody else. Now, years ago, the analogy I would use is, and your parents would have understood this, was when TB was rampant, there was a real shame that if you caught TB, it was a physical illness. But now we look at things as that if you catch an illness, you catch an illness. What in God's name is the actual problem with it? But what I wrote about in my first book was, it's the secondary problem where you actually start disturbing yourself about the fact that you have the primary problem. So you get anxious and you says, well, nobody else gets anxious. And
it's nearly, that comparison with TB, TB was infectious. So, I mean, it's different. TB, mental illness, we want to confirm, is not infectious.
No, it is infectious. It is incredibly infectious.
What?
Because if you put, it is infectious. What happens is that if you do, and they did studies on this.
And this is
that
crackers.
If you put some,
you're right.
No, it's not.
People
no,
are
Pat,
crazy some
not.
Of the time, and no, you're no, crazy
no,
right
no,
now.
No, Pat, if you put somebody, all right, who is toxic or who is depressed or whatever it is, into a group, then that actually affects the other members of group and affects the performance. That's the reason employee assistance programs are so important, is that if you can identify the person for the company themselves, because if you can identify for the company themselves or for the person themselves, listen, there's a problem here.
But Andy, you're medicalizing something that is not to be medicalized. You know what I mean? The crew are all a bit unhappy because of some toxic member of the crew. Therefore, they're all mentally ill. No, they are not.
No, not necessarily. But you will often find that, especially in men, is that what you're like, we'll use the word toxic. But when people are toxically stressed, that can come out in either the flight response or it can come out in the fight response. And you'll find people who are incredibly toxic in a group is that they're incredibly anxious. So it's, you know, to have the argument as to whether you're one or the other or whether you're medicalizing is that, yeah, I'm a psychotherapist, all right? But not always is talking cure enough to solve a problem.
Peter.
In the same way as physical illness.
Yeah, I think, I think if there's somebody in the group who's clearly got a mental health challenge, it might affect the other group members. But I think that's probably slightly different than actually them having their own mental health challenges. But I think the challenge, interestingly, that Enda brings up is probably one that isn't happening as much. The group aren't together anymore. The group are now all in different rooms. And actually, what is really not helpful to people is actually not having people around and waking up in the morning and spending all day, you know, working in an office on their own.
I want to read some of the comments. If a person mentions mental health issues in work, in most scenarios, they are toast. Peter?
I don't like to believe that's the case. It would definitely be the case in some companies because that's just the reality of some companies, and that would be the same with people saying lots of other things that they should be able to say but don't. Yeah. So I don't believe that should be the case.
Well, this one here. I work for a large multinational. They say they care about our mental health, but they don't really. They send us a few emails about taking breaks and sleeping, and then they cut our health insurance so you can only avail of 2 to 3 counselling sessions a year versus 10 plus previously. Yeah. So it's rubbish.
Yeah, so a lot of companies are doing what they need to do because they realise it's a problem. But as I said, that's their focusing on policies, not practices.
And Pat, you know, we would love to think that that is not the case. But in big multinationals and in certain company environments that are very, very toxic, that is incredibly prevalent. We will all say, well, we practice mental health and all this, but we want you to package the mental health program in a way that suits our demands, which is making us unwell in the first place. So it is true.
Peter, another one. How can the manager deal with the problem if he's the cause?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, then he unfortunately has his own manager who should be dealing with that in the first place. But I think the starting point is for people to try and get support themselves as well.
Final one for you. And as a psychologist, listening to your guest psychotherapist saying mental illness is infectious has me aghast. This is not the correct messaging. And frankly, your guest is not speaking scientifically.
No, it's what I'm, when I say infectious, I don't mean like catching the flu, but the effect that we can have on people around us when we are either mentally unhealthy or whatever it is. And that goes far beyond, all right, is that goes far beyond somebody just being like somebody who's depressed who actually affects the group. It does actually affect the people around us. And if you look at the likes of kind of growing up in a family where a parent was depressed or there was an alcoholism or something like that, then that's the proof of the pudding, is that the effect that it has on the people around them. And we know now is that no matter how bad you are as parents, it isn't, do you understand, your effect on your kids isn't that great. The effect of the environment on your mental health is far
greater.
Okay,
but that's not what you said, and that's what our listener was querying, as did I. Enda, thank you very much for joining us. Enda Murphy, psychotherapist and author. Peter Cosgrove, who's Managing Director of FutureWise, former chairman of the mental health charity Aware. Thank you both.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.